This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam, rasulillah. Okay, let me start with this. I'm glad that he fired you up a little bit. But let's do one simple exercise very fast, very fast. I have only 20 minutes, so... let's do this exercise very quickly. Those who knows me in Al Maghrib Institute classes knows that I always like to have some activity during the class or in the beginning of the class. So everyone here knows three or four words in English. Do you? Okay, I'm serious about this. This is very important introduction to my talk. Okay, I want you to choose any four random words. Any four random rule. I love Ikna conference or whatever. That's maybe more than four. Okay? Any random words. Okay? And I want you guys in the back, can you hear me? In the back, can you hear me? I guess no. Do you hear me? Okay. Okay. So I want you guys in the back to be louder than those who are in front. I want every one of you to choose four random words. Four random words, even if they don't make a perfect sentence. But four random words in Arabic, in Urdu, in English, in French, any language that you want. I would love it to be with different languages as well. Okay? Then I want you to say it out loud on my count. When I count three, everyone say it out loud. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
One, two, three. Okay, honestly, how many of you have done this exercise? Raise your hand. If you really said four words out loud, raise your hand. That's not even 5%. Okay, I want to do that again, and I'm serious. I want you to say four words out loud. One, two, three. Go ahead. That sounds like much better than before. Okay, anyone here understood what just happened? Anybody can recognize any one of these words? Allah does. All these words you just said, it doesn't matter how many words, how many different words, how many different languages, how many mini mixed voices together? They're all heard by Allah. And they will all will receive by your Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا تختلط عليه الأصوات. These mixed voices will not confuse him. He can hear each and every one of you. No matter how loud the other person is. Or no matter how soft voice you have, the moment you say it, the moment you pronounce it, the moment you call upon him, he's listening to you. This lesson was well known, well understood by the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I want you today to walk out of these talks that you hear, my talk and the Sheikh Jaffer's talk and Brother Nu'man, inshallah, Sayyidina Nu'man's talk, I want you, if you can walk with one single lesson, it will be a great lesson. That you don't ever underestimate the power of your dua. Don't ever underestimate the power of your dua. Yes, I'm going to share with you some of what Moses said and some of what other prophets said as well, you will hear in this lecture. But let me start with sharing with you with a true story of a Histonian brother who told me this story, rahimahullah. It is an Iraqi old man, was in Methodist, basically treated for cancer. This Iraqi old man said, he's a very old man, he passed away a few years back. He said, way long time ago, I used to be in Iraq an owner of a big farm, and I was like a landlord. The people who work, the farmers who work for me, they are like a slave to me. And I was very nasty, aggressive person, greedy, care nothing about anyone except my own self and my family and my wealth and how to double my money. One time a farmer came, was brought to me in front of me by my bodyguards, and they were dragging him, and his daughters and his wife was crying right behind him, begging me to forgive the farmer because he was about to confiscate all his land and kick him out because he didn't pay the taxes that I have put unjustly, unfairly on those farmers. So the man said, I ask you, I am in your house, and I ask you, please, for the sake of Allah, let me go. He said, for some reason, these words, when he said, for the sake of Allah, let me go, moved my heart. And I said, you know what? You're free to go. A few years after this incident, he said, I got paralyzed. The doctors couldn't figure out what's the reason. I couldn't stand up on my feet. I was in wheelchair. So I decided to come back to my Lord, to go back to Allah. And I was taken to Mecca for the first time in my life, to go to Mecca. At that time, in the old days in Mecca, they don't have a wheelchair for those who make tawaf. I was carried. There is like it's like a box. They carry the people on their shoulders and they go tawaf around the Kaaba carrying them. So when I entered Al-Kaaba, when I entered the Masjid, the Mecca of Mecca, and I saw the beautiful Kaaba in front of me, tears start coming down. I can't control them, he said. Sheikh, and I start crying and I told the people, put me down. Then he said, I was very ignorant, but I was very sincere at that moment. I said, oh Allah, you remember? See how ignorant he is. That's how he said. He said, oh Allah, you remember when that old farmer came to my house and he was carried by my bodyguards and he asked me for the sake of you to let him go free, and I did only for you. I'm now in your house and I'm asking you to set me free and let me walk on my feet and make my tawaf. He said, Wallahi ya Sheikh, Wallahi ya Sheikh, I made that tawaf walking on my feet. And Allah cured me at that point. ودخل المدينة على حين غفلة من أهلها فوجد فيها رجلين يقتتلان هذا من شيعته وهذا من عدوه فاستغاثه الذي من شيعته على الذي من عدوه فوكزه موسى فقضى عليه قال هذا من عمل الشيطان إنه عدو مضل مبين قال رب إني ظلمت نفسي فاغفر لي فغفر له إنه هو الغفور الرحيم قال رب بما أنعمت علي فلن أكون ظهيرا للمجرمين. He entered the city in inattention, basically by its people, and found inside the city two people fighting. One from his own people, a Jew like Musa, and another Egyptian person. And basically he asked him for help, the Jew. So Musa stand up with his own people against the Egyptian soldier, and he basically punched that Egyptian soldier, one punch, and unintentionally he killed the soldier. He realized immediately that he lined up immediately with his own people against the soldier without asking, without clarification, and he killed someone with this massive power that Allah had given it to him. So he immediately said, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي. Oh Allah, I have basically, oh Allah, I have wronged myself. My Lord, indeed, I have wronged myself. So forgive me. And he forgave him. Indeed, he is the forgiving and the merciful. Then he said, my Lord, for the favor you bestowed upon me, I will never be an assistant to any criminals again. This is just one sample of the dua, of the supplication of Musa. When he did wrong, he immediately rushed to Allah and he said, oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, I ask your forgiveness. Don't ever look how great a sin that you commit and you think, you know what, there is no way for me to survive. No. Always look at the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatness of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like what you just exercised right now. Allah hears you. Don't ever say, oh, you know what, how he will care about me. Yes. Subhanallah. Allah loves you as much as you ask him. The more you ask of him, the more he loves you. And the more you avoid that and you don't do that, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not care about you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَمَلْ حَتَّى تَمَلُّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not care about you the moment you don't care about him. The moment you don't turn to him. What do you guys think of someone who keep asking you? That sounds like my... I'm not going to say it. What do you think I was going to say? My daughter, okay, not my wife. Okay, so someone keep asking you, what do you say? Khalas, you know what, I'm going to give it to you. I have one of my little daughters, that's her technique. You know, she keep asking, insisting until I said, okay, take it. But I give it with will, with frustration. That's human beings. But that's what's different between the creator and the creation. We are stingy. We are limited in our power. Allah will never be bored with your request. Allah will never say, you know what, this is too much. The dua, it's an open line between you and Allah. When Allah wants to talk to us, he sent us a revelation, books. And when we want to talk to him, we just make dua. And it is so beautiful. There is nothing between us and him. There is nothing between us. It's an open line. You are online, open line, 24/7. You never call upon Allah and there is an angel said, please hold on, your answer will be requested in the order it was received. You will never hear that. You will never hear that. You will always have an open line with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any given time. It's never too late, it's never too early, it's never ever was too crowded. This power, use it in your advantage. Use it in your advantage. And listen to what he said in the end. He said, Allah, because of the favor you have bestowed upon me, I promise you, I will never ever be again an assistant for a criminal. When you do a crime, when you, and I mean by crime, a sin, or you do wrong to yourself or to someone else, ask Allah's forgiveness, and in order for your forgiveness to be accepted, as you heard the Shaykh earlier say, make that promise that you will not do that again. And if you do it, make another promise. Shaykh, I did this too many times. The Prophet ﷺ said, that's the mu'min, that's the believers. He makes the promises and break the promises. But when you make the promise, make sure that your intention is really to commit to it. But if you became weak, don't say this hypocrisy. Because hypocrites, they don't ever have a pure intention when they repent. But you had that pure intention when you repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمَّا تَوَجَّهَتِ الْقَاءَ مَدْيَنَ قَالَ عَسَى رَبِّي أَنْ يَهْدِيَنِي سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنَ وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِنَ النَّاسِ يَسْقُونَ ووجد من دونهم امرأتين تذودان قال ما خطبكما قالتا لا نسقي حتى يصدر الرعاء وأبونا شيخ كبير فسقى لهما ثم تولى إلى الظل فقال رب إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير. When he went towards the city of Midian and approached the well of Midian, he said, "O Allah, guide me to the straight, to the right path." اهدني سواء السبيل. How many of you guys say that a lot? How many of you guys, you always say, "O Allah, guide me to what is correct. O Allah, guide me to what is right. O Allah, guide me to the straight path." Is that a habit that you develop in your life? When you take your exam, when you're about to make an important decision, when you're about to make something important in your life, do you really ask Allah to guide you to the straight path? In every small little things, even he's about to decide this route or that route, he said, "Oh Allah, guide me to the straight path." He saw these two ladies on the side. He basically gave them, he helped them by providing water for them. Then he said, "Oh Allah, inni, oh Allah, I'm indeed in great need for your favor." Faqir, muftaqir, يعني I am greatly indeed, I am for whatever good you would send down to me in need. The Ibn Abbas said he was several days without food at that moment. Was so hungry. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always when you are in need. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him the goodness. And look, it's a very general dua. That's another thing you learn. When you ask for something big and general, beside the small things as well. A lot of time we think that, you know what, I shouldn't, this is too big for me. No, it's not. It's never too big. It's not too big for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ taught us that whenever we ask Allah paradise, we don't ask Him the lowest. We ask Him what? The highest. You remember Abu Bakr. What is Abu Bakr's request was? To enter paradise from how many gates? How many gates? Anybody knows? 8 gates. From how many gates Abu Bakr will enter? 1 gate. He will not enter from 8. What? He's going to have one hand from a gate and one leg from another gate? He's going to come in and out? It's 1 gate. But he asking for the highest. It's not like us. If us, we want to enter Jannah from the window underneath the gate. Yeah, and through us anyhow, anywhere. The dua is to be general. In another word, I will tell you this. This is maybe resonate with you more. Always make a bold dua. Can you remember that bold dua? When you ask something big and huge, general. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. When you ask Jannah, you ask the the Firdaus al-A'la. Anyway, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at how bold this is. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have basically chosen to be a prophet and messenger, what he said to Allah? وَأَخِي هَارُونَ هُوَ أَفْصَحُ مِنِّي لِسَانًا فَأَرْسِلْهُ مَعِيَ رِدْآءً. He requested for his brother Harun to be a prophet. How bold can be more this dua? He asked for someone else to be chosen as a prophet with him. Oh, I want my brother to be a prophet too, to be an assistant to me. Anyway, there are so many examples about the life of Musa alayhi salam and his dua that we can learn from. But if I will conclude my talk today to you, with something that I personally learned while I'm looking over all the dua of Musa alayhi salam. That Musa alayhi salam used the the dua as a weapon to fight the problems and the challenges that he has to go through it in life. A dua, that connection that you know that Allah beside you. Every time you go through a hardship, every time you go through a calamity, every time there is a challenge in your life, you will know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beside you, with you, supporting you and aiding you. Every time, remember that not only Musa, but I'm just explaining Musa because that's the one I was asked to talk about. Remember every challenge that Musa faced when he was in the end of the land in front of the sea, about to meet Pharaoh and his people. Even his mother, when she was from the beginning, she made the dua that Allah save him. And every challenge that he faced in his life, he always faced this with a dua, with asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That makes you feel there is so much hope, there is so much strength, there is so much power in your sight. Because you're dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most powerful subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without hope, you cannot survive. Without hope, you cannot make it. I remember once reading an experiment in a lab about two mice. They put them in a basically water, and you know, they don't swim. So one of them in a very dark box, that mouse drowned in 30 minutes. While another one, there is an exit and there is light on that exit. You know how many hours, not minutes, hours that mice survived? 36 hours kept swimming toward that exit that he would never reach. From that, they said, and ever, there is a hope, there is always a strength. There is always a strength. And there is nothing can put more hope in your heart than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if you going through a hardship and a calamity and a challenge that in your school, it is because maybe a job that you're looking for, or maybe because parents be giving a hard time, maybe a spouse giving you a hard time, maybe your teen boy or girl giving you a hard time, maybe your dad or mother giving you a hard time, maybe it's a sin that you cannot get rid of, maybe it's a bad habit that you can get rid of, maybe it's a love that you cannot fulfill in the right way, and it's a big challenge for you to overcome that challenge. I'm telling you, the way to overcome this is by using this powerful weapon, which is ad-du'a, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given to you and bestowed on you. Qatada once said, there is three things great we're giving to this ummah. First one, you will not find it in any other book, he said. The first one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the prophets before, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah did not put you in any hardship. But for us as ummah, as Muslims ummah, Allah said, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. You as a nation, you will not be put in a hardship. In previous nation, that's the first one. Second one, he said, previous nation, they were told, their prophet, ask me and I will answer you. For our nation, Allah said to all of us, ask me and I will answer you. And for the nations before us, Allah said to the prophets, you are witness over them. But for us, Allah said that we are all witnesses over others. That's an honor. And part of it that Allah honored you and give you that free line, free access to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Use it and make a good use of it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us. Finally, just for the record, Musa, what language he used to speak? Hebrew, you're sure? Was he making dua in Arabic? Was he? Do you think when he made dua, he made it in Arabic? You think so? No, he doesn't know what Arabic is. So, don't think you have to make dua in Arabic. Thank you. And in order for your forgiveness to be accepted, as you heard the Sheikh earlier say, make that promise that you will not do that again. And if you do it, make another promise. Sheikh, I did this too many times. The Prophet ﷺ said, that's the mu'min, that's the believers. He makes the promises and break the promises. But when you make the promise, make sure that your intention is really to commit to it. But if you became weak, don't say this hypocrisy. Because hypocrites, they don't ever have a pure intention when they repent. But you had that pure intention when you repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمَّا تَوَجَّهَتِ الْقَاءَ مَدْيَنَ قَالَ عَسَى رَبِّي أَنْ يَهْدِيَنِي عَسَى رَبِّي أَنْ يَهْدِيَنِي سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنَ وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِنَ النَّاسِ يَسْقُونَ ووجد من دونهم امرأتين تذودان قال ما خطبكما قالتا لا نسقي حتى يصدر الرعاء وأبونا شيخ كبير فسقى لهما ثم تولى إلى الظل فقال رب إني لما أنزلت إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير. When he went towards the city of Midian and approached the will of Midian, he said, O Allah, guide me to the straight, to the right path. اهدني سواء السبيل. How many of you guys say that a lot? How many of you guys, you always say, Oh Allah, guide me to what is correct. Oh Allah, guide me to what is right. Oh Allah, guide me to the straight path. Is that a habit that you develop in your life? When you take your exam, when you're about to make an important decision, when you're about to make something important in your life, do you really ask Allah to guide you to the straight path? In every small little things, even he's about to decide this route or that route. He said, Oh Allah, guide me to the straight path. He saw these two ladies on the side. He basically gave them, he helped them by providing water for them. Then he said, Oh Allah, inni, Oh Allah, I'm indeed in great need for your favor. Faqir, muftaqir. يعني I am in great need indeed. I am for whatever good you would send down to me in need. The Ibn Abbas said he was several days without food at that moment. Was so hungry. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always when you are in need. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him the goodness. And look, it's a very general dua. That's another thing you learn. When you ask for something big and general, beside the small things as well. A lot of time we think that, you know what, I shouldn't, this is too big for me. No, it's not. It's never too big. It's not too big for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ taught us that whenever we ask Allah paradise, we don't ask him the lowest. We ask him what? The highest. You remember Abu Bakr. What is Abu Bakr's request was? To enter paradise from how many gates? How many gates? Anybody knows? 8 gates. From how many gates Abu Bakr will enter? 1 gate. He will not enter from 8. What? He's going to have one hand from a gate and one leg from another gate? He's going to come in and out? It's 1 gate. But he asking for the highest. It's not like us. If us, we want to enter Jannah from the window underneath the gate. Yeah, and through us anyhow, anywhere. The dua is to be general. In another word, I will tell you this. This is maybe resonate with you more. Always make a bold dua. Can you remember that bold dua? When you ask something big and huge, general. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. When you ask Jannah, you ask the parrot, the Firdaus al-A'la. Anyway, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at how bold this is. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have basically chosen to be a prophet and messenger, what he said? What he said to Allah? وَأَخِي هَارُونَ هُوَ أَفْصَحُ مِنِّي لِسَانًا فَأَرْسِلْهُ مَعِيَ رِدْآءً. He requested for his brother Harun to be a prophet. How bold can be more this dua? He asked for someone else to be chosen as a prophet with him. Oh, I want my brother to be a prophet too, to be an assistant to me. Anyway, there are so many examples about the life of Musa alayhi salam and his dua that we can learn from. But if I will conclude my talk today to you with something that I personally learned while I'm looking over all the dua of Musa alayhi salam. That Musa alayhi salam used the dua as a weapon to fight the problems and the challenges that he has to go through it in life. A dua, that connection that you know that Allah beside you. Every time you go through a hardship, every time you go through a calamity, every time there is a challenge in your life, you will know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beside you, with you, supporting you and aiding you. Every time, remember that not only Musa, but I'm just explaining Musa because that's the one I was asked to talk about. Remember every challenge that Musa faced when he was in the end of the land, in front of the sea, about to meet Pharaoh and his people. Even his mother, when she was from the beginning, she made the dua that Allah save him. And every challenge that he faced in his life, he always faced this with a dua, with asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That makes you feel there is so much hope, there is so much strength, there is so much power in your sight. Because you're dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most powerful subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without hope, you cannot survive. Without hope, you cannot make it. I remember once reading an experiment in a lab about two mice. They put them in a basically water, and you know, they don't swim. So one of them in a very dark box, he, that mouse, drowned in 30 minutes. While another one, there is an exit and there is light on that exit. You know how many hours, not minutes, hours that mouse survived? 36 hours kept swimming toward that exit that he would never reach. From that, they said, and ever, there is a hope, there is always a strength. There is always a strength. And there is nothing can put more hope in your heart than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if you going through a hardship and a calamity and a challenge that in your school, it is because maybe a job that you're looking for, or maybe because parents be giving a hard time, maybe a spouse giving you a hard time, maybe your teen boys or girl giving you a hard time, maybe your dad or mother giving you a hard time, maybe it's a sin that you cannot get rid of, maybe it's a bad habit that you can get rid of, maybe it's a love that you cannot fulfill in the right way, and it's a big challenge for you to overcome that challenge. I'm telling you, the way to overcome this is by using this powerful weapon, which is ad-du'a, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given to you and bestowed on you. Qatada once said, there is three things great we're giving to this ummah. First one, you will not find it in any other book, he said. The first one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the prophets before, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah did not put you in any hardship. But for us as ummah, as Muslims ummah, Allah said, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. You as a nation, you will not be put in a hardship. In previous nation, that's the first one. Second one, he said, previous nation, they were told, their prophet, ask me and I will answer you. For our nation, Allah said to all of us, ask me and I will answer you. And for the nations before us, Allah said to the prophets, you are witness over them. But for us, Allah said that we are all witnesses over others. That's an honor. And part of it that Allah honored you and give you that free line, free access to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Use it and make a good use of it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us. Finally, just for the record, Musa, what language he used to speak? Hebrew, you're sure? Was he making dua in Arabic? Was he? Do you think when he made dua, he made it in Arabic? You think so? No, he doesn't know what Arabic is. So, don't think you have to make dua in Arabic. Thank you.